We are in the middle of Perek Chof, on page, in the Hebrew it's Chof Vav on top. Chof Vav. We're in the middle, but a lot of this we explained outside, but we didn't learn it inside. What page is it at the bottom? 86. At the beginning of Perek Chof, the Alter Rebbe explained that to understand all of this concept about the Nefesh with Chochmah, with Bittul and all that, he said we have to understand that all the positive mitzvahs are included in Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, and all the negative mitzvahs are included in Lo Yiyeh Lecha. Why? Because that's the basic Torah. So he says that every Jew basically believes the unity and the oneness of Hashem, that Hashem is not changed whatsoever by what goes on in the world. And like we learned last week, Atuhu Atshalei Nivra Ha'olam, Atu Mishin Nivra Ha'olam, doesn't mean only the way you were before the world, God, you also exist after the world. What it means is, the same way before the world you were the only thing, the same thing after the world is created, Hashem is the only existence, because everything else in the world is non-existent. So he started explaining how does this work. So he said, because the whole world is created with Hashem's speech. And last week we discussed outside, but now we're going to see it inside, how one word that the universe was created from is nothing compared to the power of speech and power of thought and so on. So he says, Lamashal, Kamei b'nefesh ha'adam, like in the nefesh of a person, Kshemedabe David echad, when a person speaks one word, Shadibe zeh levade, that this one word, Kulei mamish, is considered nothing. Afilu lagabi klolus nefesh hamedaberes, even as far as the koyach of dibur, compared to the power of speech, shulu bechinis levusha amtsoy shelo, which is the middle one of the three garments, which is koyach adibur shelo, the power of its speech, shayachu ledaber diburim lein ketz v'tachlis, that the, like we learned last week, the power of speech is technically able to speak infinite amount of words. Like we mentioned last week, the only problem is we live X amount of seconds and it takes a second to say a word, so realistically you can only say X amount of words. But the Koyach HaDibur of a person is of infinite power. Therefore, if you're comparing one word to the power of a speech, it's one to infinite. The Kol Shekin, and how much more so, if you want to compare the one word not only to speech but to thought, which is the thought, where words come from, and it's the life of the speech, which is the thought, how much more nothing is it? How much more so is it not even necessary to say, if you want to compare it to the essence of the soul, which are Eser B'chinei Seh HaNel, which are the 10 levels of Chochmah, Min, and Das, and the 7 Midas, Shemehem Nimshecho Eisius Machshav Ezu, that from the intellect and the feelings, I'll explain this whole thing in a second, that from the intellect and the feelings comes the thought which is in the speech, Kshemedaber, when he speaks, Ki Machshava, because thought, He Gamkin B'chinei Eisius Kmei HaDibur, because you think also in letters, just like speech, Rakshein Ruchnias Vedakus Yaser, but it's more refined. Alter Rebbe is explaining the way one word is nothing to speech, thought, definitely not to Seichel and Midas. So Alter Rebbe explains it as follows. The power of speech is infinite. So one word is definitely nothing. If we're comparing it to a higher power than speech, which is thought, which is the source of speech, then for sure it's nothing. But that's even more nothing compared to the feelings and intellect of the nefesh. And Alter Rebbe explains as follows. Thought, you also think in letters. Everybody thinks in their language. It's not necessarily the language you speak, by the way. Everybody thinks in their mother tongue, and then they speak it in the language that they communicate with others in. So they can speak. You can think English and speak Yiddish, you can think Hebrew and speak Yiddish, I mean, it doesn't matter. But the fact is, thought has letters in it. In midas, in feelings, there are no letters. The feelings become letterized, which is incorrect English, but they become letterized when they come into thought and speech. Meaning, a feeling of love has no letters to it. You don't love in English or in French or in Yiddish or in Farsi. You don't love in a language. When you start thinking about the emotion, when you want to start thinking about the love, you want to speak about the love, then it comes into letters. Because the letters basically are a limitation. Letters limit the love or the thought into a tangible level that you can communicate it with. First you need to think it, because then you can only bring it out into speech by first thinking it. You have to first think, and then you're able to speak. So you have to think in letters. The letters of thought are much more refined and much more edel, like they say in Yiddish, than the letters of speech. But it's still letters. If you want to compare now this one word to feelings and intellect, which are not even letters yet, it's even more nothing. Like we said, even an intellectual concept, it's very interesting, an intellectual concept has no letters to it. 2 and 2 is 4. We say it in English, it's 2 and 2 are 4. The concept of 2 and 2 are 4 is non-lingual. It's not in any language. It's a concept. If you want to express the concept, you say it in letters. So you say 2 and 2 is 4, or numbers, whatever. You say it in a concept. Or, for instance, there's a concept that in these days, Rambam, what I have in my possession is technically mine. I mean, it's a normal logic. If I have this keychain, logically it's mine, because I'm holding it. That's a logic, right? It's a Torah logic. Now, what language is that logic in? The logic itself is not in no language. If I want to start thinking about it, so I can think about it in Yiddish, in English, in French, in German, or in any other language. But feelings and intellect themselves have no language. You think in a language, but the intellect itself is no language. Which means it's even more refined than the letters of thought, which are already tangible letters. Not as tangible as speech, but it's still tangible letters. At least to yourself. So what's the Alter Rebbe trying to bring out? If you're comparing one dibur to the nefesh, it's really nothing. And the Alter Rebbe is going through stages. The one speech compared to power of thought, speech is nothing. More nothing compared to power of thought, which is greater. Even more nothing compared to the midas and to the seichel. And each one you have a lot of different levels. That basically it's non-existent. Correct. Machshav is more refined than speech. Speech is more refined than action. But here he's not going that way, he's going up. You're going down. That action is more tangible than even speech. Right? A written letter, halachically, has more power than saying. If I say one thing and write in a contract something else, right? Legally, what's binding? The written contract, not what I say. Right? If I write a contract, I say one thing and write a contract differently, both secular law and halacha says a written contract is much stronger than what you said or what you thought. Right? So it's more tangible. We're going now in the level of speech compared to higher levels, how much nothing it is. And Alter Rebbe is bringing out that if Hashem created the whole universe with one word, like it says, "Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu," and one word, even to understand it from a human perspective, compared to the power of speech, thought, midah, seichel, and he's not done yet. How much more so compared to the essence of the soul? So one speech is basically non-existent. One speech doesn't make it a change in you, and it doesn't break a change in you. That means whether you say a word or you don't say the word doesn't change the human in any way whatsoever. It's not even going to change the power of speech to say, now I have one word less. You can't even say that either. The one word, which is a limited word, compared to the infinite power of speech, doesn't alter it in any way. For instance, if I have 100 hours to do something, and now I have an hour less, so it's changed. I have 99 instead of 100. If I have an unlimited power of speech, and I say one word, it doesn't do anything whatsoever to the speech, to the power of speech. And it definitely doesn't do anything to the thought. It definitely doesn't change my midas seichel. It definitely, a million times over, is not going to change the nefesh itself. So the same thing, the whole universe, compared to Hashem, is absolutely non-existent. It doesn't change at all. And therefore, Hashem says, Ani Hashem leishanisi, I didn't change from before the world to after the world, just like a person doesn't change by speaking one word. And the Rebbe in Perek Chof Aleph is going to explain, by Hashem it's infinitely more than it is by a person. First in Chof, the Rebbe is explaining the way it is by a person, that it doesn't alter the person in any way whatsoever, because it's completely bought. And he says, L'moshul, about 8 lines in the bottom, when a certain feeling of love comes into the heart of a person, before it goes up from the heart to the mind, to think about it. There are no letters. Like we said, you don't love in English or Yiddish or Hebrew. Love is letter wordless. It's a feeling. What is it? It's chayfetz pashut. It's a simplistic feeling. V'chsheka belev, and a desire in the heart. Ala adavar ahu, hanechmet etzli, to the thing which is precious to him. So by the midah, he's also, the Alter Rebbe thing, it's not even letters. It's nothing. V'kolshkein, and certainly, kaidim shenafla ataiva v'chemda boli b'leisi davar. How much more before the temptation came about? It was only in his chokhmah, bin, and das, basically, the Alter Rebbe says, that the person knew about it. In other words, you can know something is luscious, or you have a temptation to it, but before then you actually create the temptation for it. But even before the temptation, the ability of seichel to understand that it's something to tempt, to desire, is also there. He said, "V'teve yafel asigev lidavik bay," and it's even good to get it. For instance, lil mid eiza chachma, for a person to learn a certain wisdom that they enjoy learning. Or lechol eiza meichol arev, to eat a sweet food. Rak la'achas shekvar nafel achem de v'teve b'libay, after it already comes into the heart. The keich chachmasi v'sichle v'idiyasi, but the keich of seichel k'seichel. Like we learned in Paragimel of Tanya, intellect stimulates feelings. When you have a temptation to something, it's because your brain understood that it's something worthwhile desiring. So then you start with Seichel. Seichel says to you, not thinking, Seichel, the intellect, says you understand that it's good. Then the feeling of the heart awakens. Then after you have the feeling of the heart, you start thinking about it, how to get it. Yeah, but that's not the seichel. But your heart can only desire something that you understand is good. If you see something, right? I'm not saying it comes from seichel of kedusha. It could come from seichel of evil. But it comes from Chachma. I'm not necessarily saying it's from Kedusha.
Some of the feelings without understanding are just a feeling.
But you have
about
to.
Something or what?
You can only feel some, have a desire to feel something which is good, if there's an understanding that the object is good. It might be because it's shiny, it might be because it looks nice, or whatever. Without the understanding, there is no midah stimulated without Seichel. That's why seichel is called avaim, that gives birth to midas. That's why it says ha'ayin re'ev alef chaymid, right? Out of sight is out of mind. The eyes symbolize the understanding that what you see is good. The other mission saw ki tayv ha'etz l'machol. The nechman huleinayim. He understood in seichel that it's good.
You see something, how know it's good? Maybe it's
that if you don't think that if you don't have the seichel that it's good, you're not going to want it. No, that's what he's saying. Machshava is where letters start. No, you can think shtusim. Somebody can think shtusim. So machshava and seichel, and seichel is intellect. If you have intellectual concept, hameitzi mechaveri olav araya, let's say. Okay, classic example in the Gemara. If I want to extract something from you, the burden of proof is on me. And if I say you owe me money, I have to prove it, not you. That's the logic. What language is that logic in? Not what I think it in. That logic is logic. What letters, what language is that in?
Language.
Like we said, love. What language is love in? You don't love in a language, it's above language. When I start thinking about it, that's when letters start. The feeling starts in the midah. What stimulated that midah?
Okay,
seichel.
Once it goes into the seichel, then it becomes letter.
No, when it goes into machshava, not seichel. That's what I'm saying. It becomes letters. See, we're using machshava and seichel interchangeably, and it's really not.
What is the difference?
I said, seichel is knowledge, not thinking. You knew before you came, you knew before you came here that if I want to, oh, you knew the 2 and 2 is 4. That seichel is there. It's in the brain. Right? If you don't think about it, it's not revealed. Thinking about it, when you start saying, oh, 2 and 2 is 4, or hameitzi mechaveira olavaraya, so then it's becoming tangible, a revelation, a garment, that's revealing the intellectual concept that exists there. If a person has an attribute to a relative in the heart that they love the person, but they're not thinking about the person over it. There's no open love. Yeah, if you love the person, stop to think, yeah, of course I love the person. But the feeling itself is there, but it's not revealed. When does it become tangible into letters? When you think about the person. But in order for a midah to exist, the Alter Rebbe explained before in Parag Gimel of Tanya, seichel stimulates midas. Midas are based according to the seichel. Intelligence is thinking. Yeah, a lot of people think. Stupid people also think. No, it's not true. You could think a feeling too. You could think a feeling too. If you think a feeling, it's not to do with intelligence. Forget, there's no seichel. It's minimal seichel, and there's more feeling. Machshava is not seichel. Seichel is knowledge, wisdom. Machshava is the garment that reveals seichel. Dibur is a garment that reveals seichel.
Animals have seichel?
They have a brain. It's not human seichel. They have instinct.
There's some intelligence
there too. Yeah, animal seichel. Mm-hmm. They don't have the seichel to choose between right and wrong. Totally instinct. They have a certain level of animal intelligence to exist. But that's more instinct than actual seichel. They don't have chokhmah and bina. They can't take a concept and broaden on it and elaborate on it and build on it and all that. In all over Chassidus, they discuss the difference between the garments and the nefesh itself. The nefesh itself is seichel and midas. The garments are the thought, speech, and action that reveal the seichel and the midas.
If you have a seichel, you have levels too.
Yeah, you have intelligent, intellectual people, very intellectual people, very, very intellectual people. I mean, you know, no two people have the same seichel. But seichel itself is above any form of thought or speech or action. Whether you know it or not, 2 and 2 is 4 anyway. Just because you don't know it doesn't mean 2 and 2 is not 4. Right? Or any scientific concept, right? Just because you don't know it, because you don't learn science, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Even though you're not thinking about it, but the seichel is still there. The concept, the intellectual concept is there. If Torah, the Chochmah of Hashem, just because you don't think it doesn't mean it's not there. When you think Torah, then you're revealing the Chochmah of Hashem, or your own Chochmah.
That's just another way of revealing the circle. Just speech is one way of revealing the Chochmah is another way.
That's all it is. And, but it's not only for seichel, it's feelings also. If you want to reveal something to yourself, you think it. You want to reveal it to somebody else, you speak it. You want to reveal it into something else, you write it. Do it. Okay? You can think that you love a person, you can say to the person, I love you, and then you can give him a kiss. Those are three ways you're revealing the love. The love is there, even if you don't kiss them or say, I love you, or think it. The love is still there. The attribute of love is still there, but it's not revealed.
Yeah, but how does the love connect with the seichel? Because the seichel turns out this is somebody that is taking love?
Because seichel and midas, the Alter Rebbe explained in Perek Gimel of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explains that the Eibishter set the human body in a way that seichel stimulates feelings. In other places in Chassidus it says not that seichel creates midas, because midas are there regardless, but seichel reveals the midas. Meaning, if I understand how great somebody is, that will stimulate a love. If I think how fearful somebody is, how powerful somebody is, how bully somebody is, it will cause me to fear them. But that comes from seichel. Therefore, kids are not afraid of things until there's a logical reason for them to be afraid.
Yeah.
What? As a rule, it comes from a certain level of seichel anyway. Somebody that has no seichel really can't have too much midas. That's why seichel is called Ava Ein, and the seven midas are called the children, the tuldas. That's what he says over here. First it starts with the seichel, then it goes to the midah. But to think how to bring it out, how to bring it out into action. First you understand I want it, then you desire it, and then you think how to get it. Right. Yeah, but the seichel is dictating the action, that because I want to come to love this thing, the only way I could do it, the seichel, is by doing it. So that's also seichel. The seichel is telling you, by doing it, you're going to change it. I'll give you an example. There are many people that hate fish. Then when for health reasons, or for on their own, they change and they start liking the eating fish. After a while, they get so used to fish that they hate meat. They won't even touch meat. They don't like it anymore. So the seichel, many times it was stimulated because of health reasons. The seichel says to me, okay, I have to start eating fish. Because I get used to it, so that it creates a love of it.
You can use it for the bad things too.
Yeah.
Very seichel that a person can be very, very bad meter.
Right. It depends. Chachamim heim lahara. You can have seichel of good, you can have seichel of bad. Seichel of bad says, I'm better than you, why should I like you? I mean, you know, that's also seichel.
But seichel is not concept. Seichel still belongs to the person.
The brain.
Right. So you can't say there's the concept of 2 plus 2 is 4 and it's there, but that's not it. The person has to acquire that thing, and it becomes in his seichel. It goes into his seichel. No?
Yeah, but there's the haskalah and the brain. It's not in your brain yet.
Okay.
But the seichel, the haskalah of it exists, whether you know about it or not.
Oh, okay.
There were two old Chassidim learning Lukotot Torah, and they came out in a Maimer. The Rebbe writes over there that the majority of the world is water. As everybody knows that went to school, knows that the majority of the world is water. So these two old Chassidim, they were in Russia, and then they came to America. So they used to look at each other, they said, you know, we don't understand this, because wherever we went, there was only dry land, there was no oceans. And they were debating this, and finally they said, well, we have to accept it, Kabbalah soil. The Rebbe says it, we have to accept it, even though it doesn't make sense, and it's probably not true, but Kabbalah soil. Okay, I mean, so they didn't know that the majority of the world is water, no? So therefore it's not because they just don't know that.
I'm saying it's not that knowledge is not called Sechel. It's a knowledge which exists, but Sechel...
That's why the Alter Rebbe in Perek Beis writes in the Rambam that normally there's Mada, Yodua, and Yodea. There's the knower, the knowledge, and the thing known. Right? And those are three distinct things. If I study Torah, so there's me, there's the studying, and there's Torah. In a person, those are three distinct things. Therefore, before I learned the Torah, I'm different than I am after I learned the Torah, because now I have something I didn't have before. But it's three distinct things. It's the person, the knowing, and the thing they know. The Rambam writes, by Hashem, hu amado v'yadei v'yadua. By Hashem, there's no such thing as Hashem, the knowing, and the knowledge, because that means there's three things out, something outside of Hashem can't exist. So by Hashem, in fact, the Alter Rebbe in Chof Aleph, that we're going to get to Mitzvah Shem next week, the Alter Rebbe Taka discusses, by the Eibishter, it's even more than Dibur. Because when we speak, Dibur leaves us. Like the famous word that people say, before you speak, you control your words. After you speak, your words control you. Because they leave you. By Hashem, there's no shaykh to say that when he created the world by speaking, that the words left him to even make... It's not even, number one, even if it leaves you, it doesn't cause a change. Like we said, one person you speak, one word, doesn't change the person in any way whatsoever. And that's even though the word is leaving us. By Hashem, it doesn't even leave him. So for sure it doesn't do anything. So that's why the Eibishter is taka the same Eibishter before, after, and in the middle. So what does it matter if you do mitzvahs or not? No, is that what you...
Yeah.
We're doing it for him, we're doing it for us. We're only doing it for him because he wants that we should do it. Not that he needs it. Becomes more complete with it or without it. If by definition, when we do a mitzvah, we give God strength, that means without him he's missing something. And now we complete him. I mean, God forbid to say that. Then he wouldn't be God. In levels of alokus, we do it. We do say in davening every day in Tumtilim, Tunu Aizla Lakim. Give strength to Elokim. But that's not to the essence of Hashem, it's to the level of Elokim. The level of the essence of Hashem is totally non-changeable. The only reason why the world exists is because Bereshit Bara Elokim. Elokim, world matters. The essence of Hashem, it's totally irrelevant. Yeah, world, no world, it's all the same. He's going to give examples later.